The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, July 24th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today's going to be an open line Thursday. That means you can call in. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind, what is trending in the news, what is trending on social media, even some global stuff if you want. There are one or two things I've noticed that I wonder and have you join into the conversation. But because it's open line Thursday, that means you can call in and partake or direct. That's a better word. Direct the conversation or enlighten the behaving people on subjects that you say, man, no one talk about this yet, man. Put it to the fore. Let's see if anyone else is interested in this. I like good sounding things. I tend to be negative at times, be critical, not negative, critical at times. But every so often I want to hear what is going good in the Bahamas and around the Bahamas, right? I see that Ministry of Tourism still is having people to people. I had a great people to people experience the other day. I mean, I didn't know we still do that, right? I participated in it. It was beautifully done and orchestrated. The guests who were some female divers who were in the Bahamas, the Ministry of Tourism allowed them to go to this lady house, right? And they experienced some rake and scrape. They experienced some storytelling. The acting the director general of tourism, and I forget her name, it's a good friend of mine, and I remember researching her name. I remember some of her families were Adleys, and then she got married to Anderson. I'm almost sure she's a Mrs. Anderson, almost sure, but I wrote it down someplace and I'm going to recognize her because she's doing an excellent job. She's acting director general of tourism there, and I was very impressed. She's very engaging, you know, people who's and excited about the job, and who took their time out to interact with the tourists and behemoths in general. No, not stiff. You know, some of these bureaucrats and technocrats, them must be stiff and rigid. She was very approachable. So I want to give a shout out to her as soon as I find where I write down her name. I can shout it out maybe on another show. But I enjoyed that people-to-people program, and I'm glad that Ministry of Tourism still is having it. I'm hoping that more Bahamians take advantage of it. I can see some people program happening in like places like Fox Hill and Adelaide and those what I call former slave villages. I think more people-to-people should do that. And I'm hoping that they involve Bahamian fruits, like, man, some dilly. You know, some mangolas, you know, it's Gnep season now. So I'm hoping that they take advantage of that. As we continue, we'll talk about some politics and what's trending with that. But I'm noticing the numbers for tourism is trending downward. And I was having a conversation on my social media platform that perhaps we need to start some conversation on what downward, right? This is going to be a cruise ship season. All of our tourism is going to be based on the cruise ships. Right now. And so we need to find ways to extrapolate some of those cruise ship money. I know we have a number of tours now, right? Perhaps we can do some training at this present time, but to get these tours up and ready and to get these people off of the cruise ship into the in and about town and over the hill. Yesterday, I saw tourists walking as far as Wolf Road. And I smiled and said, see, these people that say over the hill is not a good place for tourists, but definitely these tourists are going above and beyond the regular path of Bay Street. And I'm thinking that perhaps we need to have cultural ambassadors, people who live over the hill, who have like Axe Me type shirts, whose responsibility is to make sure those people who are venturing over the hill get back over the hill safely, and that we can point out things to them, say, well, this is a Bahamian landmark, and this is about the Bahamas, and this is where I live, and you should stop to this milk stand here and get this chicken in a bag, this conch salad, and move back over the hill. You know, perhaps that's something. But there may be some callers online as we have an open line Thursday. Erin Green is going to be joining me shortly. She has a number of things to talk about politics. I didn't want to necessarily talk about politics. I'll just talk about the Bahamas. But talk about what is trending. Whatever is trending. I've never seen so much people so angry. Choclo seems to be an angry activity that nobody seems to be happy. They're only happy when they rush in. You know, they go in that trance, in that spirit, and they lose their consciousness or whatever they're doing and rush. But when it comes to the politics of Choclo, who could be in charge? They rowing. Everybody want to be right. But we have a caller here, producer. Patch that caller through. Let me see what they want to talk about today on this open line Thursday, July 24th. Good morning, caller. How are you doing?
Hey, yes, good morning. See, I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I am doing well, man. Blessings to you.
Praise the Lord, man. Give God all the glory.
All the glory.
All the glory. See, you know, Sibby Moss had a plan to do just that, you know.
Tell me about it.
But he wanted to bring the tourists over the hill and, you know, give them a cultural experience, take them to the old Danes town and show them the grave and the different experiences. Yeah, he had an excellent plan for to develop the what they call, I guess, the cultural tourism.
The interactive thing.
Yeah.
But, you know who has a good graveyard tour? Greycliff. Greycliff have a haunted Bahamas tour. Few Bahamians know about it. Where they do it at night, like 6 o'clock, like when they turn on dusk, and they what that graveyard is for the off from Eastern, that's Eastern Graveyard, I think that's called. And they walk through there. It's there. It tells ghost stories as they walk, and they tell about some of the tombstones. It's very interactive. That's a good one.
I mean, that's how like people who in the demonic world, I for me, but anyway,
you scared of ghosts. Yeah.
See, I scared of ghosts. Mm-hmm. But I have two questions here.
Go ahead.
Who is our present Auditor General?
Our present Auditor General? I do not know.
Can you find out for me, please?
Let me shout to Dwight. Dwight, listening. Dwight, who's the Auditor General? Yeah, talk to you, Dwight, yeah. Who's the Auditor General? I know. You know, okay. Well, I got to have for homework. Who's the Auditor General? Because I don't know.
My other question is, when is this Adrian Gibson case going to finish, man? It's almost time for election again, you know.
Repeat that again, I heard.
When is the Adrian Gibson case?
Man, I think that it's going to be run that week of election. Whenever they call election, they can say guilty or not guilty.
Guilty. So tell me something. Those people who have been seconded as on jury duty, are they still supposed to be off their job or what?
Well, you're only off the job if the case is being tried on that particular day. So if the case is not being tried, if they're not doing whatever, you'd be the work. So if they're on a pause, they're the work. They're on a pause now.
Oh, okay.
It ain't like they're interviewing nobody right now.
I mean, I did this almost 3.5 years.
It's a long case.
Like, you know, I mean, what kind of system that we are running in this country? You can't try a case in a reasonable amount of time. You are actually infringing on a person's constitutional rights. You know,
there is a famous quote that justice delayed is justice denied. So somebody ain't getting no justice right now. But that's when you have constitutional lawyers come in and say, man, the same way how you raising concerns, constitutional lawyers, the bar counsel thing, should say, man, something is wrong. Something is wrong with the system.
We always have these issues. And you know, I think that if Parliament passes the law, I don't think no lawyer is supposed to come by and say that isn't the law. The Parliament say this is the law. Because we always have these issues, you know, who is right and who in the government can't do this in government. All of those things should have come from the Attorney General's office, who would have drafted these legislation. So they don't know the law, they don't know what is legal or what is, you know, and so on and so forth. And how come now the court is now saying that it's not so? Now I know, like in the U.S., where you have this crazy president, he trying to do whatever he wants to do. You know, that's the difference, where he decides he want to be his own jury, judge, and everything else. Besides, I think the courts would come and say, listen, you can't go this far. You know, these laws that we pass.
Before you go, I have some update. Yeah. It's, so we asked for the Auditor General. The former Auditor General was Terrence Bastian. He was the former. The current Auditor General of the Bahamas is Miss Brenda Neely, who's a CPA. She's serving as the acting Auditor General. The Auditor General is appointed by the Governor General, acting on recommendation of the Public Service Commission. So I hope that helps you.
Thanks. So when was that announcement made? Because I don't remember seeing anything in the news, in the paper, anything like that. I don't remember seeing it. I didn't even
know. Keep on giving me homework, man. I just get the name.
Have a good day, buddy.
Take care. And the lady I was talking about earlier is Miss Lisa Adley Anderson. I know it's Adley, and I know it's Anderson. She's the acting permanent secretary of Ministry of Tourism. So I just want to give a shout out to her. Like I said, I enjoyed her company. You know, when people I think the word is gregarious. You can just talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just want to give a shout out
to her. Amiable, amicable, yeah. She's a nice lady. Yeah.
It's open lines Thursday. So again, you can call in and we'll be happy to discuss whatever you want to talk about. Aaron Green has joined me today. I have a text. Man, no politics today, man. Let's talk finances. How do I get rich in the Bahamas here?
Oh, I love it. You ready to get rich?
Give some ideas for this texter who texted just now.
You ever considered buying a mulcher? You know what a mulcher is?
I know what a mulcher is.
Mulch is trash, mm-hmm. organic debris from the yard.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the tropics. Beaches and parks. Oversubscribed, would we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And still can't get it all done. You want to make some money in the Bahamas? Mm-hmm. What you're going to do is you're going to get yourself two mulchers. In fact, if you got sense, you're going to go order them from the place way over there.
Yeah, so...
Right? And you get buy at least three at a time.
Three?
Yeah, you get them at good price. You need three.
This would be cheap until you have to ship it. And you see it come right back up. But yes, the mulcher would be a good business to come in.
Yeah, without
a
doubt.
I see another telephone call. Even though we mentioned that the person texted say they want to talk about politics, I know you have one or two political things you want to talk about. It's open line day, so we just talk about various things.
Yeah, I want to talk, not politics as much as governance, right? Governance. Okay. It's interesting, the public notice a couple of days ago mm-hmm. about the Parliamentary Registrar Department and what's unfolding.
We can bring that up too. Go ahead, caller. It's open line Thursday, and we have a number of things we could bring up to talk about. Go ahead.
Good day, Stocking Weiss, along with you and Aaron Leary.
How you doing, man?
Morning.
Say it again?
Good morning to you.
Yeah, so much the same. Leary, you know, I have a problem when people that's in authority carries on like the Bahamian people stupid, okay? By acting the way they act, because the Bahamian people needs the Bahamas. But then those same people controlling what the Bahamian people need, okay? And the majority of Bahamian people needs are not being met. So, you know, those people, I don't know, they need to get out of people's face.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, if you want to establish something to make yourself rich, don't try prettying it up as if as though you're doing the world for the Bahamian people. You're doing nothing for the Bahamian people. Look at our condition today, okay? As close as like over the hill, right? Just mm. under the hill and above the hill, right?
Mm.
People still have what you would call outside toilet.
Yeah.
Nobody tried to do anything about it.
Well, and I appreciate you calling. We need more vocal activists like you to remind us that these are issues we need to address. And I'm glad you call in to remind us, especially when we're supposed to be the top police in the Caribbean. At least I herald us as the top police in the Caribbean. See, I expect things like that down south, but we're supposed to be sophisticated. And I don't mind we having some challenges, you know, but we're supposed to be actively working to iron out these wrinkles. I see in the newspaper they were mentioning that people need to register to vote, right? Election messy soon. Next year is due. And I know they gave us some outlines on what we need to do, right? Aaron, do you have any detail about that? No?
Yeah, so I found, just quickly, a public notice was issued from the Parliamentary Registration Department, Office of the Parliamentary Commission, last week. Let me just read from it quickly. Pursuant to the provisions of Section 8 of the Parliamentary Elections Act, the Parliamentary Commissioner hereby informs the public that a national voter registration drive will commence throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas on Monday, the 14th of July, 2025. So it started just over a week ago. The purpose of the registration drive. The registration drive will accommodate only those persons who fall in the following categories. One, people registering for the first time. So your first time registering to vote, or you just come of age, or you just decide you want
to
vote.
I can pause you there to ask you what you mean by first time. Even though you explained to me, if I'm 18, just turned 18, that's me, that's first time?
Yeah.
What if I just became a citizenship? Is that first time?
Now, I am not certain of the rules for citizenship and voting. Like, is it you have to wait 6 months or immediately when you get your citizenship, you could then vote?
Okay.
But certainly you have to be a citizen to vote,
okay,
right? So if you become a citizen, then you go and you, when you do that, you ask, well, how soon I could vote?
Okay,
but I imagine it's in the next upcoming election. So you turn 18 for the first time, you just reach the age of majority. This is your first time voting. So you hit 35 and you decide you want to vote for the first time. You have to register to vote. Persons who have changed their place of residence and require a transfer to their new constituency or another location within the same constituency. And so the rule is you have to be living in said constituency for 6 months, right, I think? At least 6 months. So if you moved, say I in St. Anne's constituency, if I move to where Monroe is? Freetown. If I move to Freetown, I have to, and I've been in Freetown for more than 6 months, I have to register in Freetown. I can no longer vote in St. Anne's.
So, if, and I see you call us, we come to you next, right? If I'm moving from Grand Bahama, because Grand Bahama's slow.
Yeah.
I just get one job in one of them hotels. I got to wait 6 months to register. Even though I know, even I say, man, I have signed a contract, I'll be here for 3 years. I live here, this is where I live now. I still have to wait 6 months in that spot before I go and change.
I think so. But
so if they call election early-ish, I got to fly to Grand Bahama there.
Possibly. So here's what I recommend. If you have recently moved island, polling division, island constituency or polling division, if you have moved, you're going to call the Parliamentary Registration Department. Give them the details. Say, look, I've been here for 3 months.
Yeah.
Tell me, do I need to register here?
Yeah.
Do I need to register there?
Okay, finish.
Right? Okay, so where to register? Registration will be carried out at the following places. Main office of the Parliamentary Registration Department on Tawnique Williams Darling Highway, New Providence.
Where is that exactly? I mean, no, it's a long highway, but where on Tawnique Williams? I never see it. No landmark?
Not indicated in the public notice, but I imagine that it's close to where the road traffic has moved.
Okay.
It may even be in the same complex or next door.
Okay. No problem.
Again, you're going to call the Parliamentary Registration Department to confirm the locations before you get in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Not while you're in your car. Mm-hmm. Parliamentary Registration Department sub-office, Solomon's Food Store Building, Freeport, Grand Bahama.
Okay.
Family Island Administrative Island Districts.
Okay.
Satellite stations at the following locations will also be utilized. Marathon Mall, okay. Town Center Mall, New Providence Post Offices, specifically South Beach Post Office, Cable Beach Post Office, Carmichael Road Post Office, Elizabeth Estates Post Office, and Fox Hill Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
together with such other locations that will be designated in New Providence and Grand Bahama from time to time.
Okay.
Hours of operation, all registration centers will be open for operation weekly, Monday to Friday, between the hours of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., commencing the 14th of July, 2025, until further notice.
Okay.
So they're accommodating you after work?
After work.
Can't get there during work hours? Mm-hmm. We're here open for 3 hours from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Who can register?
Okay.
Who can register to vote? Bahamian citizens of at least 18 years of age are eligible to be registered. Acceptable proof of citizenship must be provided. Other requirements fulfilled, and the applicant must take and subscribe an oath, all as required by the Parliamentary Elections Act.
What if I don't speak English? No, that's real talk. I know Bahamian citizens who don't speak English. Like, how can they take an oath if I can't speak English?
Well, if you are eligible
Bahamian.
To vote, you Bahamian?
Yeah, I just can't speak
then
English.
Then they're going to offer the... They will provide...
The interpreter?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to know if they have interpreters.
Without a doubt, yeah. They can provide it. See, once you qualify, once you meet all the requirements...
I have my papers.
Then that you don't speak English is not inconsequential. Okay. They can have a interpreter for you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you have to come with my... Or I have to come with my own interpreter.
No.
No?
No, because it has to be a state-certified person. You can't just come bring... You can't just come bring your boy and say, look here, my boy...
One of these days, I want you to ask somebody if you have an interpreter. Just saying. I just saying. But I'm finished reading. I want to get all this because I want to ask a couple questions.
Every day, mm-hmm. I walk closer to Gotham City.
Yeah.
Producer, play some religious music, please, so I could remember whose I am.
Go ahead, because the call is still bad.
The process. For initial registration, in order to be registered, A, attend one of the registration centers for an interview with a revising officer. B, take with you your approved documents to confirm that you are a citizen of the Bahamas and not subject to any legal incapacity. Mm-hmm. For transfers, if you have relocated, so mm-hmm. this is for people who change address. If you are currently on the register but have changed your place of residence, whether within the same constituency or to another constituency, have lived at your new residence for not less than 3 months, so it's not 6 months, this one says for not less than 3 months, mm-hmm. it is necessary to take your voter's card to a registration center. You've already registered to vote, but you've moved. You changed location, and you need to go and register the new location because you'll be in a new polling division and possibly in a new constituency, right? So you need to take those things with you. Please note that for the registration purpose, for registration purposes, approved documents include a Bahamian passport or naturalization certificate. A birth certificate presented with a government-issued ID. A baptismal certificate and or such additional supporting documentation as may be required by the revising officer. Also note that the revising officer has the discretion to request that the applicant provide such other documents or information as may be required to confirm Bahamian citizenship and eligibility to be registered.
So... A reasonable man who's more the gatekeeper can say, I see your documents, because you know some people passport expired. But they can seize you. They understand what
I'm almost certain that expired documents don't work.
But see, if you bring your birth certificate, it doesn't have any face.
Yeah.
You bring in your voter's card. Okay, let me start off. What about those persons who have a voter's card already, but the voter's card is battered and torn? So they need to replace it. What do you do to get a new one? What do you get a new one?
You go to the Parliamentary Registrar Department to get
a
new one.
And now you're presenting that ID, which is battered and torn. You're presenting your birth certificate, which doesn't have any picture. Your passport is expired. Surely someone has to use their discretion and say, I understand. This is you.
No.
So how are you going to get it?
Okay, first of all, there's the NIB card and there's a driver's license. You're not required to have either, but they have photo on it, right?
I appreciate it. Let's go to the
But comments. I think you may have to get an affidavit. I'm almost certain that even with extenuating circumstances.
Everybody has an NAB card. That makes sense.
Yeah, expired documents are not approved.
Yes. Let's go to the caller. And I appreciate you, Aaron Green, for reading all of that. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM is open line Thursday. Talk about what you have, what you want to talk about.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
Open line, open mind. Now, a nation of sheep has begotten a government of wolves, right? Even, hey, Aaron, even the sheep, they say, meh. you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's trying to tell us something. So that's what frightens me. The sheep even speaks and all. So what I'm saying now is, let's look at the name changes versus we have had people saying, two passports. They have two passports. And so you had a name change. And then who would secure that constituency to constituency? And so maybe AI. I won't be in Sea Island listening to see what I'm getting at. They have our surnames, and then let's say somebody comes in on a plane. What is the time that somebody can get citizenship? Because I've heard some frightening stories from somebody who works in the airline industry. It's very frightening stories, and it's coming out of Abaco. And because of the person had money and influence, and they said what they saw as a passport being issued within 2 to 3 hours. Now, I dive on over, but I want to discuss something that somebody said, how to get rich in the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, firstly, I like everybody to know God didn't put everyone on earth to be rich. Rich is like a construct, most of us want to be rich because we see other people rich, and we have an ill concept of what it is to be rich. And so you notice that we won't be able to buy gold and silver here. So there are certain Jim Crow laws and certain suppressions, even by the lack of educating us. The other day, Langhart rolled on, and we listened to Pamela Musgrove and the other people who work in the financial industry, and Langhart rolled on together was like a wealth of knowledge together, and they was inundated with calls. And I saw from that Bahamian people were eager to learn about the finances. And so I respect Langhart's economy for me. But even it's looking like it's just as hard as science, because it's so complicated. And so it's the reason why in the teaching is that, because we see where banks have become sort of capitalistic in their ideals and their imposition. We see where all of a sudden they stop giving out interest rates, and nobody said anything to them. And so when I use the term gangster banks, or people don't really understand where I'm coming from. But not everyone. God, richness is within the earth.
Okay.
So you, if I am caught right now in the day of judgment, and I have $1 million paper dollars fiat currency in my hand,
yeah,
what good does money do me during some natural catastrophe, something that's not available? Like you know what I mean, Aaron, like food or some particular resource.
Mm-hmm.
Money can't get that if it's not available. But if I, like me, my mistake was I really wanted to be a farmer. So I'm trying to teach my children and other people, I'm like, you know, with homes, with generation of property, maybe if I had grown 2,000 avocado trees and 2,000 mango trees, and I had 10,000 sheep and 10,000 pig and 1,000 cows or whatever, it might have been better for me, because it's food security. But the world has taught us to be like our slave masters, and then we have become snobbish like them, in which even political fanatics who even make money from the government and wouldn't have a dime in their pocket without government, they tend to look down at people, and that this is what it is. This all about. This concept of throwing crumbs to the masses is nothing new. It is something that came from Europe. And this is what it's all about. You want to be rich because you want to show someone else you're rich, and you want to ride in a big-time car and show people that because you feel as if it makes you better than somebody. By the end of the day, you're not. We have people that secure generational wealth. What I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with being rich, but you might throw someone in the ditch just to get rich. So it's what you do for it. So what I'm saying is, we all pacified, wanting to live a hedonistic lifestyle as if richness will exempt us from death and pain and suffering. So, I mean, God didn't put everyone here to be rich, man. Give thanks and praises, man.
I appreciate it.
Live your life and give thanks.
Thanks. I have a text here before I go to the next line. Says, I am against the practice of businesses paying taxi drivers to have tourists directed to them. Tourists should be attracted to a business by word of mouth or reviews from independent actors. The Ministry of Tourism needs to look into the practice of taxi drivers charging a tourist $300 for a tour, then taking a tourist to a business overcrowded with 200 other tourists, where they spend an hour sitting on a wall on the side, they're talking about people on Bay Street, on the side of the road to purchase non-special cake. This is just bleakly unethical.
I don't know anything about cake. What I do know is that, you know how many people told us successful because we refuse to pay taxi drivers to bring customers to our product?
How much do taxi drivers charge now?
Monday, I don't know about now, but back then they wanted to charge us $5 a head. And I was
$5 a head?
I was like, listen, let me show you a why. You are selling tours. You, the taxi driver, you selling the tours. And I'm giving you somewhere to take your guests to make their tour fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Why I need to pay you to bring them here? Mm. Well, does that make any sense? And I given you a stop on your tour. Nah, I refuse. And this is a big thing, Yuri.
Yeah, that's
this big, huge thing. And I could, since somebody else brought it up, I could say it, right? Yeah. The people who pay these taxi drivers, they are destroying the market. We don't pay taxi drivers to bring people to attractions. Taxi drivers need things to entertain their customers with. Mm-hmm. And you, at one point, during the road works, they were charging people $50 an hour for tours.
My God.
You charging people $50. That was during the road works, right? Mm-hmm. You charging people $50 an hour for tours, and you couldn't even take them anywhere.
No, stop.
And now you want me to pay you to bring them?
Let's go to the next column. Guardian Radio AM open line Thursday. We're talking with what's on your mind. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Go to the next one.
Hey, Nuri. Good morning, Nuri. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Listening to the conversations, two quick points here, if I can. Firstly, you know, something very pivotal that Raymond said this morning that a lot of, you know, do not take serious consideration. And that is, you know, today in the 21st, 22nd century Bahamas, why are most of these homes in these areas called over the hill still have outside toilets and also pumps on the ends of these corners? I mean, we are boasting that we are making mega monies in this country, and yet I have yet to see a government come up with a comprehensive plan to bring running fresh water into these homes. I don't say it's impossible. Yes, the homes and the areas may be some of the oldest that we have, but we have some very smart people that if they were really and seriously interested in uplifting the living standards of our citizenry, this would have been something on the books a long time ago. Okay. That is very troubling to me. The second part of this is we're talking about the upcoming electoral cycle. We have heard the allegations of fraudulent documents. Passports and our most precious documents are being given frivolously out of the country into the hands of other persons. We have heard where persons have to swear allegiance in English before even receiving these papers, and yet we have persons walking about with our documents and cannot speak a lick of English. English is the official language of this country. How can these persons then have our documents if they cannot speak English?
There's no law against it.
No, there's no law. But the thing is, how do you swear allegiance, CA?
You should repeat after me.
No. Yeah. But if they can't speak it properly,
you just need to repeat it. You just need to
repeat it.
If I said, repeat after me, I, and you say, I am, hey, Nuri, that's easy.
Oh, that's easy, eh?
I can repeat it.
Okay. Well, okay, Nuri, if you want to put it like that, it's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. The main fact here is that we know how the construct was put in place for us to ensure that our documents are being received by persons who qualify for that. And when I use the word qualify, I'm not talking if they are just able to speak English. These name changes and stuff is something very detrimental to this country.
That's legal,
and
too.
And we still playing as if we have our heads in the sand. Let me tell you in my last point here. We have people changing their last names to names that is traditionally regarded. Even though this is the names that a lot of our ancestry perhaps got from the slave masters, but yet it identified us as Bahamians. How many of us are doing due diligence to find out who these people are changing their names, where they come from, were they involved in any nefarious activity, are they a threat to our country, who is doing this and who is declaring it to the Bahamian people. You see, these are very, very, very serious questions, not to be taken lightly, and none of our government officials have come forward yet to declare to their bosses, the Bahamian people, on what it is that they're doing in order to safeguard the sanctity and the sovereignty of this country. I'll close my remarks on that. Thank you for taking my
call. Thank you very
much,
Jeff. Before I go to the next caller, this says, these four-wheeler drivers need to be careful driving down Lane. There are two accidents on Shirley Street. One ripped off the whole bumper of a nice taxi van, and 5 seconds down, another ran in the back of a car. Maybe those tourists were driving together.
Two things quickly. You know, they say when teeth from teeth, God smile.
Mm.
Yeah. A couple of months ago, a tour guide pulled out of Dowsville Street across two lanes, both lanes of traffic. And when I did not stop, because A, I didn't need to stop to avoid an accident, and B, they had no authorization to block the road and stop traffic, that guy on his scooter run me down to row me about how come I wouldn't stop, and I can't see he trying to put tourists in the road. I tell the young man, if you're not a police, get away from my vehicle, right? They lawless. They reckless, they lawless, man.
I have another question to text from you again. They want you to remind them whether it's two IDs they need to bring for the pass, for the voter's card, or just one legal identification card.
Okay, listen, it says, please note that for registration purposes, approved documents include a Bahamian passport or naturalization certificate, a birth certificate presented with a government-issued ID, a baptismal certificate, and or such additional supporting documentation as may be required by the revising officer. Hold on, we're going to...
So it's one passport or two of additional IDs if you don't have the one passport.
Well, it says take with you your approved documents, mm-hmm. and then it says this the approved documents include Bahamian passport or naturalization certificate.
Yes, one.
Right,
okay.
It's passport or naturalization certificate. Birth certificate presented with a government-issued ID.
So that's two.
Yeah. And a baptismal certificate and or such additional supporting documentation.
So that's two again for that. So ones have one. The naturalization certificate and a passport is one.
Right.
As an individual one, you need to bring that. And if you don't bring in either all of those things, you need two of those other identification cards.
Yeah.
Let's go to the callers again. Guardian Radio AM is open line Thursday. What's on your mind? Go ahead, caller. You live? Let's go to the next caller there, Kermit. Guided Radio AM, go ahead. Call you live.
Hey, yes. Good day, Mr. Nuri.
Good day.
And good day. Mr. Nuri, it blows me to see that we still have citizens in this country who would come on the national airways and make people having 21st century toilets in their homes a government problem. You know, it is not the government's problem when we decide to live at a substandard life that we decide to live as and do not want to empower ourselves or change our own conditions as citizens in the country. If I sit at home with an outdoor toilet in my backyard and I sit and wait for the government to come and put a 21st century toilet in my home, then I don't know what I am at. I am less than a man. You know, Mr. Nuri, we have to take responsibility as citizens to make the Bahamas a better place for us to live in. We should not rely on the government for things like putting toilets in our home and putting food in our cabinets and stuff like that. The government's job is to put laws and things in place to empower us as citizens. Yes. Okay? If the government put water pumps in a community for people who don't have, you know, running water in their homes, the government has done their job. They've put water in the community that people in that community can have access to water. Why is it that the government needs to bring running water into my home?
Okay.
Why is it that the government needs to bring a 21st century toilet in my home and everything? And I am a man who has a family who is supposed to be working to make sure that my family have everything it needs.
Okay, thank you, Gordon. Let us respond to that. Okay, thanks, though. I appreciate it. I can let Aaron respond to that for you.
So, I appreciate what you're saying, caller. The that I don't expect anybody from the Ministry of Works to come to my house and install a toilet to put in place the infrastructure for the toilet, right? Because that's their job. However, surely you understand that the government plays an integral role in this process of like community development, right? So first things first. It's the government's job to create laws and regulations in the interest of the people and to protect the people. And even if there's not one individual person they have interest for, it's the public good, in particular public health and safety, right? So no, is it the government's job to come in and put a toilet in your house? It isn't. However, it is the government's job to ensure that landlords and property owners, right, have up-to-date and modern facilities in homes for the public good, for public health and safety, right? It's also incumbent on the government to create housing development regulations, right? The government can mandate that every home has indoor plumbing. And then they have to enforce it to ensure that unscrupulous landlords are not taking advantage of renters and tenants. And then they have to make sure that reckless parents aren't leaving their children and their dependents, right, in a deplorable state because they don't want to do what they ought to do. Yes, the government has a role. They have an obligation. And ain't no one man could go and dig a well by themselves. They can't take responsibility for the landlord's property and put in a cesspit in a well. They can't do this. Just have some grace. Just practice some empathy and some grace.
Let's go to the other callers there. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio. AM is open line Thursday. What's on your mind today? Call girl once. Let's move on there, Kermit. Go ahead, Guardian Radio. AM, you're live.
Yes, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. I see Atlantis now is closing down a little piece of the
Coral Towers.
Yeah. You know, they say that who want to take vacation or who want some time off, they could regress it. And when they're ready to come back, they replace them in different apartments and stuff if they want some time off and stuff like that. So it would be no laid off or no redundancy, which is good. But you know something, Mr. Nuri? If you could name me one major thing that the union have created for their members that they could, when hard time come, they could go to and get a discount, that the union could say, union knows how to come together when they are going to go on strike. They call different union to go on strike together. Why union cannot come together, build a big shopping mall, maybe come together, buy a little motel, that they can own these things, these resources? Why are they always depending on the foreigners to come? And when the foreigners then got a shutdown, then everybody's scrambling, looking for their members to try to replace them to get a job. We are doing a bad job. All we are depending on is the foreigners. And when we, if people ever take a note to see how much money these union are carrying home by the month, what their salary, but what they're doing for the members, what are they doing for the members? All these shopping malls around here, why the union couldn't own one of these malls and stuff like that their members could get a 10% and Heim and stuff like that. You know, they're doing nothing.
It's a good critique, caller, and I appreciate that. And hopefully some of the union entities are listening. I remember when the hotel union had that big building on Harold Road. They had the washhouse and all of that, and it was going well.
Go ahead. Mr. Nuri, now they had the Bank of Bahamas was in that. Mm-hmm. Now that's where the registration in now.
Okay.
They, I think that they are renting at the government to do the registration for the voters' card.
Good.
So I believe they still get that. You see?
Okay, that's good. That is good to know. Thank you very much, caller.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nuri.
Let's move to the next caller there.
Just quickly, I've been lobbying the unions. Why y'all don't have a temporary work program for your employees yet?
Yeah.
Like why? Also, while you go to the next caller, I'm looking for the story that was in this week's paper with Obi Ferguson, mm-hmm. declaring who he's voting for and who he's not voting for. It speaks to what the caller is speaking to. I can look for that article.
There needs to be a good interview with Obi Ferguson to challenge him in terms of what he has done for the union movement. I mean, he's a great man, but sometimes when he does speak, he'd say, my lord. Let's go to the next one. You find the article ready?
It's a news clip. It's audio clip. I don't think it's in print yet. I can maybe send it to the producer.
Yeah.
But he's saying that he's moving his vote. He's not supporting the PLP. He doesn't say who he's going to support.
It's his COI.
And what I read was that
I like the good old days when your vote was private and no. This bargaining chip.
Oh, you mean like how the general orders say that you should not publicly express your affiliation to protect yourself?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Let's go to the next caller there, Kermit. Go ahead. Guardian Radio AM, open line Thursday. What's on your mind? Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
You're live.
Thank you, man. I would like to just encourage people a bit here instead of, everybody's complaining. You would find in this life there some persons who are just born retired. That's just the way life is. And there's very little you could do about that. But the wrongest thing you could do is to compare yourself with someone who seemed to have so much wealth that they don't even know what to do with it, and you can't find an easy way to get none. So I'm looking at this giant black book of metaphorical secrets, and I'm trying to find a way, how do I navigate, or how do you help people navigate in this world where justice seems to be able to be bought and sold to the highest bidder? Because it's depressing when you look around and see that happening right before your eyes. Could you give me some words of encouragement to help other people who may be contemplating a shortcut and to try take the long path to success?
I can tell you right now,
thank you very much, Colin.
Do not change your life from Christ for these fools. Mm-hmm. You'll take it from a Hasty and a Mitchell who every day have to... to fight the temptation. But Corinne Mitchell say, when you're smart, use your powers for good and not for evil. Here's a reference to the previous call in, yesterday's Nassau Guardian online edition. TUC President Obi Ferguson has issued a warning to the government. If outstanding increment payments owed to BAIC staff are not settled, the Trade Union Congress and its affiliates would stand in solidarity with workers. Oh, this is not the one. But in this same press conference, he says he's not voting for the PLP. If they lived up to their word, the union building would be fixed. And in the same vein as the last caller, man, Mr. Ferguson, you're supposed to have a temporary work program long time. And if you did, those same workers would have renovated your building for you.
They don't have no building. Let's call it quickly. This is going to be the last caller for today. Guardian Radio AM, your last caller for today.
AC and Aaron, thanks for taking my call again. I just wanted to respond to the comments that Aaron made and the caller
who commented. Make it quick. We go to go.
That I made very quickly. Aaron, thank you so much for clarifying the statements that I made. The bottom line here is I am not saying in any way, shape, or form that the Bahamas government is responsible for going into a person's domain and installing these things. Mm-hmm. I was basically talking about the general infrastructure in the area, if it was provided for the other entities such as water and sewage, such as BP, run their particular stuff into these persons' homes, then yes, they would then be afforded the opportunity to tap into the system where they then begin to pay taxes, but they would uplift their homes to a better living standard from what they're living now, and thus eliminating the water pump on the side of the road. That's all I was basically saying.
Thanks very much
for taking my call again.
Nuri, as we go, you saw the little situation where the woman incorrectly identified a member of water and sewage staff. She thought that they may have been like a trespasser or a thief, and she incorrectly identified him. Water and sewage, they came right back out and said, no, we have a project going on in your area, ma'am. This guy, he's doing his job.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say what I found is that with government workers, water and sewage, even BTC and BEC before they got separated, these guys who they sent on the road, they polite and they professional, man.
Yeah.
And anytime I catch someone in my yard, what you do is you use a joke. I start off, I say, we's catch trespassers and marry them in this yard. And they laugh and they say, oh, no, ma'am, I with water and sewage, or I with so-and-so. It's how you interact with people. But y'all, let's respect our workers, man.
Yeah, a number of women are afraid. And so
we get that part
They're terrified. Yeah. They're terrified. Before we go, I want to mention that a number, have you seen there's a number of what I call shantytown, shanty...
Businesses.
Yeah. I mean, on the side of the road... You fish fry. You ever gone? When last you gone fish fry? The fish fry look like.
You ain't see the place in Rowan saying the place in putting up a concrete wall on their property on fish fry, yeah. And I'm like, hey, y'all forget. A temporary vendor's permit means that you're supposed to pack up your whole operation, and nobody's supposed to know you even been there when you gone.
If you go to the fish fry, there's now a business, a bar on the sidewalk. You know the sidewalk you walk on. They built the bar on the sidewalk. You walk off the sidewalk now to go around the bar. I said, who doing
that's
it?
That's the same Arawaki where they had the shooting, and the police officers say, no man, that was a good response time. 5 minutes for police officers on foot at the fry.
Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. There was an open line Thursday. We can even have more of these just to talk about what's on your mind and hash things out. Have a beautiful day. Tomorrow is Friday. Take care.
Call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Is your business ready for the next big step? More inventory? New equipment? A larger space? At Fidelity, we offer commercial loans tailored to suit your business. 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.